This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Finger pointing continues after two mass shootings within hours of each other over the weekend leave at least 31 people dead. House Democrats are calling on Senate Republicans to take up two bills they've sent to that chamber. One, to expand the universal background checks requirement for gun transfers between unlicensed individuals. Another bill would extend the background check review period to 10 days, closing a loophole. Meanwhile, the White House says it's serious about addressing the problem. Top advisor to the president, Kellyanne Conway, says,
"This has to stop. Everybody needs to stop tweeting in front of the camera, stop raising money. Elizabeth Warren, I'm talking to you for Senate candidates off of this, and stand up and work with us to stop that."
She spoke on Fox News. Several countries now issuing travel warnings to their citizens about visiting the U.S. after the mass shootings, among them Venezuela and Uruguay. And this is USA Radio News.
Balance of nature. Changing the world, one life at a time.
I'm loving my balance of nature. Since I started, I have not gotten one cold. I kind of fight everything. I get a little tickle, but it goes away.
It's just amazing the difference I felt. I want you to know how much I appreciate the counseling and so forth and your attention to your people. I have been a pretty big advocate for the balance of nature. I don't know how many truck drivers have asked me, "How in the heck do you keep going at 88, 89 years old?" I said, "Balance of nature." If they want to really enjoy some good health, get on balance of nature.
Experience the balance of nature difference for yourself. For a limited time, you can receive a 30% discount and free shipping on your first preferred order of Balance of Nature. Call 800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
It's the 35th annual National Night Out tonight, when cities and towns across America will hold events where police will better get to know the residents they serve and vice versa. In Boston, they got a jump on things, holding some of those types of events last night, where Mayor Marty Walsh said the city's done very well with protecting people at large outdoor events, but it's hard to protect against mass shootings.
Whether it was the Vegas shooting, we responded in Fenway having people on the roof, or driving a truck through a crowd in Paris, we block the streets in our city. We can work on trying to protect people from those type of shootings, but when you have what happened this weekend at a parking lot of a Walmart or inside a mall, it's a little different.
One of the biggest buyers of U.S. agricultural products is stopping such purchases. China saying it's suspending purchase of all American farm products because of the escalating trade war and the president's latest threat of imposing tariffs on Chinese goods, effective the 1st of September. This is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Perkins and Marie Callender's filing for bankruptcy. The restaurant chain making the announcement one day after shutting down 29 of its locations. The company says it plans to sell its Perkins business. It's also looking for potential buyers for its Marie Callender's restaurants. A health update on a well-known Republican U.S. senator. Here's USA Radio's Robin Walensky.
Republican Rand Paul taking to Twitter to talk about his most recent health issue. The Kentucky senator says he's had part of his lung removed, the result of an attack at the hands of his neighbor back in 2017, the man breaking six of his ribs and bruising his lungs. The procedure done at Vanderbilt University, Rand Paul tweeting he should be able to return to the Senate in September.
That's the story with the junior senator from Kentucky. Meanwhile, that state's senior senator, Senate Majority Chief Mitch McConnell, is recovering after an injury he suffered to his shoulder when he tripped on his home's patio over the weekend. The statement from his camp says he'll be working from home while he recovers. And it seems hard to believe, but Mick Jagger and the rest of the Rolling Stones went completely unnoticed by fellow diners at a restaurant in Clifton, New Jersey a few nights ago. Even the TikTok diner waitress who served them says she had no idea who they were. Jagger spoke about it on stage at last Thursday night's concert at MetLife Stadium. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's
1-800-359-3360. America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, for some, maybe we need to help their stinking thinking. The way this is gone, I mean, the Trump derangement syndrome is getting to be too much, but it continues. And I can appreciate why conservatives and those on the right are getting so frustrated over the attacks, the ongoing, continual attacks on the president. I mean, it's one thing from the Democrats, but to have the media pigpile on is it's just getting beyond ridiculous. Just about 6 minutes after the top of the hour, Dr. Lauren Wright joins us now. She's associate research scholar and lecturer at Woodrow Wilson School, the Department of Politics at Princeton University. Lauren, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Hi, Bill. Good to be back.
Well, first of all, we're going to talk about debating the debate. You had a great piece on that. But before we get into this, I wanted to get your read on the Times. The Times initially, in their social media post of their headline for the paper this morning, said that, noted that Trump was taking a stand against racism and urging unity. The headline was Trump urges unity versus racism. Oh my goodness. I mean, it was a lightning rod. Kirsten Gillibrand, Cory Booker, Mr. Spartacus himself, they all went nuts. Their heads exploded, said, no, you got it wrong. They put so much pressure on the New York Times. They have no credibility, have no backbone. They can't even leave the headline alone. No, they come back later and say, oh, we made a mistake. And they alter the headline to now read, assailing hate but not guns. What a bunch of wimps.
Well, I'm glad you defended the Times in the first part of your comments, because it's true. You know, the headline was based on what the president said, exactly what he said. And he did condemn racism, and they, as the paper of record, did put that in the headline. Also, to their defense, it is very, very common for there to be a different social media headline than a different online headline and a different print headline for the same article. And they did mention in the article the similarities of Trump's language and these white nationalist terrorist language. So I do think in that case, the candidates are being too hard on the Times. And it's sort of just one of these institutions where if you like what they say, you're happy to say, you know, they're legitimate. They're reporting the facts, which they did in this case. Mm. And if you don't like that, if you don't like what they say, then you're attacking them as a illegitimate newspaper. That's what I think we need to get away from.
Well, the challenge we're having here, Lauren, is that the mainstream media is being marginalized. I mean, here it is. You know, those on the left are marginalizing, invalidating people. The president's invalidating the mainstream media because of fake news and all these attacks. I mean, this is well documented, where you're getting 90% of the reporting being negative towards the president. I mean, that has to be purposeful. Now, I'm not saying the New York Times specifically, but I'm saying in general, the mainstream media, that is the ratio, the way they measure this out. So you really have to go out of your way. And what this is doing is this. It's infuriating 63 million voters and others who would like to have a more objective point of view, because, after all, that's what journalism is here for. I mean, its reason to exist is to document history. Well, boy, I'll tell you, this is documenting a lot of meanness, but I'm not sure it's documenting a whole lot of history that we can pass on to the generations going forward that'll look back and say, hey, let's take a look at, you know, what was really happening. And they're going to have to wade through a lot of emotion and a lot of false reporting to really get down to really what this this period of time represented.
Well, look, I think the 90-10 ratio is important, and I want to talk about that because there's been a lot of research on this. The majority of news coverage of the president is negative, but if you look at just text of the president's transcript, no analysis, no opinion. If you look at the speeches he gives and his own tweets, those are also very negative. It's a very similar ratio. And so it's hard to cover this president, even if you're reporting just exactly what he says. And I'm not saying that's what the media does, because there is a lot of opinion nowadays in mainstream news. But even if you just covered what he says and nothing else, you would also get majority negative coverage, because he uses negative words and he attacks a lot. And that's why those models that analyze language and pick up numbers of words do come out with that ratio. So I think there's blame to go around here on both sides. And the media, yes, could they be more objective? Yes, but they are covering the president at his word a lot of the time. And he's very, very negative himself. And he is the most important person in the world. So he better have more responsibility for his language than anybody else in the world.
Well, and I don't disagree with what you're saying. I find that in this culture, you know, negativity begets negativity. And this stinking thinking goes round and round. I mean, you talk about a circular firing squad. We have one between the White House and the mainstream media. And that's happened almost from day one. And I'm not sure what it's going to take. It will always be this way. If the president's reelected, we've got four more years of this kind of insanity to look forward to. However, you know, let's just take Baltimore, for example. When he brought out the problems in Baltimore, and it happened to be Elijah Cummings, because Elijah Cummings is black, suddenly it had to be perceived through a lens of racism. But, you know, I asked the question, was the president right? You know, we've given Baltimore $16 billion. This is his district. He just recently, Elijah Cummings, was very passionate about what was happening in the border and about kids, immigrants being mistreated there. Well, in his home district, you know, we've got families and kids being mistreated, and billions of dollars have flown to Baltimore and, you know, from the government treasury. And what has been done with this, with all this money? Is that a fair question?
It's the way he brought it up. Again, he attacked the people who live in Baltimore. He insinuated that their animals are somehow subhuman because he said no human being would want to live there. Now, why do you have to do that? You know, this president has ample opportunity to shape media coverage about what he says. We have to hold him accountable at some point. So would it have been a positive message or even a positively toned but tough message to say, hey, let's look at people suffering in Baltimore and try to help them? That would have been more effective.
I don't disagree with what you're saying. We get into, tone, and we get into worldview and how we perceive. And not that I'm trying to, it's kind of like the one African American woman in the town hall meeting with Barack Obama. She says, I got to tell you, I'm just getting tired of defending you. And I think that in some cases, you get Trump supporters that just say, I get weary because every day there's a tweet that comes out that you just can't, you have to cipher through it and go, okay, that part's right, but could you have said it in a more, more effective way? We've got more from Dr. Wright. Stay with us.
Fellow patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state. Until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Hey, Bugsy, you hear the news about Vinny?
Yeah, it's a real shame. He owed money to the IRS and they finally cut up with him.
Just like Al Capone.
If the IRS can get the Capone, imagine what they can do to little old Vinny, huh?
Poor cat, he was on top of the world. That bada boom, bada bing.
What Vinny needs now is an offer he can't refuse.
Hey, you got a tax problem? Does the IRS claim you owe them a bunch of dough? They can get you, too. So call the Tax Relief Line now and learn if you qualify to negotiate your $10,000-plus IRS tax debt for up to a 75% savings. Don't be like Al or Vinny and get busted. Make this free call now. Learn how you may be able to pay the IRS less.
Call now. 800-590-4930. 800-590-4930, 800-590-4930, that's 800-590-4930.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
This message is sponsored by AmeriGlide, featuring the nation's best prices on a home stairlift. Are you having a difficult time getting around your home? Do you avoid going up and down the stairs? Have you even considered moving from your lifelong home just to avoid the stairs? Forget about moving and call AmeriGlide and learn how an easy-to-install stairlift is the perfect solution to help you get your freedom back. Plus, we guarantee the nation's best prices. Make this free call today to learn more. No sales visits are necessary. We can help you over the phone. Now you can stay in the home you've been in for decades. Please do yourself or your loved one a favor. Make this simple two-minute call right now. Get the lowest price on a stairlift anywhere. Here's the number. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. That's 800-296-1434.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront, no hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
The truth. The whole truth. And nothing but the truth.
Attention, everyone. Everyone, this is an emergency broadcast. Please do not turn off your radio.
This is Bill Martinez live.
Fox and Independent. We are just the way you like to hear from us, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, Dr. Lauren Wright, the Associate Research Scholar and Lecturer at Woodrow Wilson School and Department of Politics at Princeton University, continues with us. And we were just talking off the air about, you know, the challenge of processing the language of Donald Trump. And I was mentioning to Lauren, the first time I went to New York, I'm ordering coffee. And if you've never been to New York, or if you can remember the first time, if you're not indigenous to the New York state of mind and the energy and the attitude, it can catch you off guard. And I'm a West Coast guy. I'm born and raised in California. I go to New York for the first time, order a cup of coffee. And it was like, hey, what do you want? Said, whoa, you know, it's just, you know, not even good morning or anything like that. Just, what do you want? Said, I'll take a cup of coffee. You know, almost apologizing that I was going to buy a cup of coffee from them. And then it was, well, is that regular? Well, to me, regular meant, coming from the West Coast, is that, you know, regular coffee or is it decaf? Well, regular, of course. Well, regular became, as you know, and some of you are already laughing, is that it's cream and sugar. So, and I didn't like cream, but I took the coffee. I was intimidated to buy something that I didn't like. But all that to say is that, you know, sometimes, you know, you try to filter a little bit with the president and understand that, hey, this, he's a New York guy with the attitude, grew up with all this stuff. And, but again, that's not necessarily an excuse. We're just trying to understand it. And Lauren, you're exactly right. We're not trying to excuse this. I think that the president has an opportunity to learn from reasonable people to say, hey, look, when you say that, you may not intend to stoke up the fires of racism, but you need to be aware that it does. And especially in a culture that is really dealing with rhetoric. I mean, I don't know. Did you happen to catch the video of the, what was it? The Democratic Socialists, you know, they had their annual meeting and where they're doing jazz hands. They can't even clap because the noise, it disturbs people's sensitivity. And, so they do jazz hands. And their pronouns are specific. The language they use, you cannot use gender pronouns. That's an offense. I mean, what are we coming to here? I mean, you're on campuses, you know, you're dealing with college kids, and this is, you know, the order of the day, and you're dealing with some of this yourself, are you not?
Yes, and, you know, some of my students voted for Trump. Some are conservative, some are liberals, some are Democrats. They identify all kinds of ways, and everybody should feel comfortable sharing their opinion. And a lot of my colleagues feel that way too. You want conservative students to feel comfortable in the classroom. It's really important. And I agree with you on the brashness of New York. I'm terrified walking around because people are so rude. I agree with you. But I don't think that's what's going on with Donald Trump, because I remember a time when the Republican Party was about personal responsibility. And it's about, if you said it, you have to own it. And if you didn't mean it that way, you apologize if you offended people. And if you did, well, then, you know, you are responsible for what comes out of your mouth and what comes out of your Twitter feed and his
right.
And to me, his language many times has crossed the threshold of racism. I think it is squarely in that camp. And I think it's fair to hold him to account. Now, if you like his policies, and many people do, they say they don't like the person, but they like the policies. Well, then you should be concerned, too, because he hurts himself this way. There are so many things the president could get done so much more easily if he did not say offensive things on the daily.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there are times, and again, I'm not trying to get in, but I guess maybe I am, because we have other opportunities from the left. You know, when the left says something that is quite racist, and then we come on and Nancy Pelosi, the leader, she says, okay, we're going to pass a hate bill, as opposed to really coming in and drilling in and holding the people that made the statement responsible. We're just going to override it and call a hate bill. And so then what happens is that they're given cover
and then you've got more of the same. So, you know, I'm in for accountability. I agree with you that there should be accountability. But, you know, we need to do this as a society on all levels if we're going to do something about it. But, you know, in the midst of this, I again suggest we're challenged just in our normal, I say normal conversation, the conversation we grew up with. Now, as part of this woke generation, there is a new language, there's sensitivity, there's, you know, gender pronouns you can't use, and, you know, and what's in our heart is not to offend people, but, I mean, it's awkward trying to have some conversation with people when they're suddenly offended, and that's not what you meant.
Right, and, you know, we have entered a time where people are offended by the slightest things, and, you know, sometimes even an apology isn't enough. People make mistakes. They hurt each other. They say terrible things to each other. But the point is, if it's a pattern and it's a strategy, and you're invoking things like gender and race, that's hurtful. And so the problem is, when the president does give a speech that many viewed as compassionate, you just talked about the New York Times headline that said, you know, he condemned racism. When he gives a speech like that, some people don't believe him. And that's sad because, you know, he's the president of the United States. He's the leader of the free world. And we should be able to look to him for comfort, and we should be able to believe him. By and large, with a few exceptions, we should be able to believe him. But because of his track record, people now say, you know what, I don't buy it. I don't think he's sincere. And that's not to his benefit, and that's not to the Republican Party's benefit. And, you know, I've worked in Republican politics. And I always say, and I think Tim Scott is a really good example of this, he's now the only African-American Republican in Congress. He said, the reason people think Republicans are racist is because when people in the party say racist things, they don't condemn them. That should be a responsibility Republicans have, to hold their party to the higher standard, not just to look at Democrats, who of course have racism and sexism too, but to look within and say, we need to do better because we want to win and we want our platform to be on display and to be implemented.
Mm-hmm. How about if we just want to be civil and kind to one another?
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah, outside of the party politics, let's just be kind to one another. I want to talk to you about the debates. I mean, there were some really strange things, you know, said, you know, from Gillibrand, speaking of which, you know, that the first thing she's going to do is she's going to Clorox the Oval Office. And it's like, I mean, some really bizarre things came out of the debate. What was your main takeaway?
Well, I think if we were trying to set up a debate to make sure we got the best campaigner and not the best president, this is what we'd be. I mean, this was not set up to find the best qualified person, and debates have just become these chances for people to grab a headline or have a sound bite, and we're not looking for who the best person to lead is. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm really interested in public communication, and that's what I research. So I'm part of the problem because I love to talk about people's performances. Mm-hmm. But it's so unfortunate that we've gotten to a place where debates are just not informative.
Mm-hmm.
They don't tell us a lot about policy at all. What they tell you is how someone can perform under pressure, whether they're likable or not, and what their personality is like. And so Kirsten Gillibrand, yes, that was sort of a loser, that comment she made. She took a risk and it fell flat. But, you know, it's sad that we're not talking about policy.
Well, when you have a limited amount of time, you know, maybe on average 7 minutes to speak in total,
you
measure the words, do you not, to make the most of them? I think that's why Tulsi Gabbard, I think why she scored so well.
She did really well. I mean, that was a very well-crafted attack on Kamala Harris, so she didn't have much of a response.
Exactly. Well, Dr. Lauren Wright has been our guest. Always good to have you with us, Lauren. Look forward to our next conversation. Thank you for being with us. Have a great day.
Thanks.
All righty. Bye-bye. Are you making payments on high-interest credit cards and your mortgage, but feel like you aren't making a dent? If you're like most homeowners, you're getting a ton of calls to refi, but no one can help you save money, right? You're in luck. Our friends at Network Capital help their clients save on their debt payments an average of $528 a month. That's right. Refi those debts and you could save an average of $528 a month. That's over $6,300 a year, which could also improve your FICO scores. Call 800-700-8068 now. Network Capital Funding Corporation is a direct lender and their process is fast, simple, and secure. We urge you to call our friends at Network Capital now. 800-700-8068. Can you imagine what you could do with an extra $528 a month? Give them a call right now. 800-700-8068. That's 800-700-8068. Not licensed in all states. NMLS ID number 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight under the Finance Lender Law number 603-D78. An equal housing lender subject to credit approval.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Finger pointing continues after two mass shootings within hours of each other over the weekend leave at least 31 people dead. House Democrats are calling on Senate Republicans to take up two bills they've sent to that chamber. One, to expand the universal background checks requirement for gun transfers between unlicensed individuals. Another bill would extend the background check review period to 10 days, closing a loophole. Meanwhile, the White House says it's serious about addressing the problem. Top advisor to the president, Kellyanne Conway, says
this has to stop. Everybody needs to stop tweeting in front of the camera, stop raising money. Elizabeth Warren, I'm talking to you for Senate candidates off of this, and stand up and work with us to stop that.
She spoke on Fox News. Several countries now issuing travel warnings to their citizens about visiting the U.S. after the mass shootings, among them Venezuela and Uruguay. And this is USA Radio News.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995. Immediately. That's 800-605-6995. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-605-6995 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-605-6995. That's 800-605-6995. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995 for your free author submission kit.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez, live.
Minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. It's always great to have you along with us, and we're happy to have Grover Norquist with us. Grover is the president of Americans for Tax Reform, America's preeminent center-right expert on taxes, and we've got lots to talk about. And before we talk about what may be happening at your local airport, real quick, Grover, I want to get your read on what is going on in Baltimore. The president calls it out for what's happening, and of course the Democrats can't help themselves. They go to playbook number three, and that is when in doubt, throw the race card, right?
Well, yes. And look, the president was making a point that Baltimore is ill-governed. That is a criticism, and he's particularly criticizing one of the long-standing Democratic bosses in the city, Cummings. Mm-hmm. And here he is not focused on improving schools in Baltimore, which are not up to snuff, to be kind. The murder rate is competitive with El Salvador and Honduras at present, not with the other 49 states. So there are huge problems. And for the left to say we can't talk about problems that a democratic monopoly on government for 50 years gives you, and then they all race.
Exactly.
You know, could the president have put it more clearly? Well, I don't know, how many words do you get in a tweet? Pretty obvious to me what he was talking about. But the left at present, remember when kids were 13 years old, everything was a sexual innuendo, every word, every phrase, every image, because 13-year-olds were obsessed with sex. Democrats are obsessed with racial divisions. That's their bread and butter. That's how they win votes. It's all they have to sell. So anything you say, they will announce, oh, what you meant was not what normal people would presume you meant or what you actually said. You meant what I wish you'd meant or what I would have said if I'd said that. That's what I would have meant. And they stick your reality into their narrative, and then it gets messy because, of course, the press pretends to jump in. When the squad, the four women, accused Nancy Pelosi of being a racist because she criticized them and they were of color, the national press didn't consider that interesting.
Yeah.
That didn't fit the narrative. When the same thing happens to Trump, proof, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's annoying for two reasons. One, because they call names, and two, Baltimore is never going to get a grip on its failed government politicians if every time things go wrong they can yell race and it's somebody else's problem.
How are we going to get united if we continue at this? If it's just, my point of view versus your point of view, and we're in each other's, our respective corners, and nobody's coming together to say, if everything's racist, let's face it, Grover, we're all people of color. I mean, you're a color, I'm a color. But the thing is interesting, to your point here, is the media pigpiles on this deal, and they do nothing to help. In fact, they're exacerbating it because they allow Congresswoman Presley to say, well, if you're black, you better come with your black voice. If you're brown, you better come with your brown voice. Well, I'm brown. I'm not sure what my brown voice is supposed to sound like. Maybe I need to call her up and ask her.
Well, of course, the point that she's making is a fundamentally racist one. All people of one race or color think alike. That's what racists think. That's not what Americans think.
Right.
That's not the way people behave. But look, this is a feature, not a bug, in the Democrat playbook.
Mm-hmm.
Their goal is division. Their goal is to divide people by race and ethnicity and religion and region. Everybody hates the South. So that they can say, pay no attention to, did we say that Obamacare would reduce your cost of health care by $2,500 and instead it increased it by $2,500 a year? Race. They don't want to talk about that. Did we promise never to raise taxes on anyone who earned less than $250,000 and in Obamacare have seven taxes that hit middle-income people? Race. They don't want to talk about lying their way into office on health care and taxes. They want to talk about anything and everything else, and that's why anything that divides people is good fodder.
Mm-hmm.
And gets you off the question of the Republican tax cuts have given us growth. The Republican deregulation have given us strong economic growth. We are a power in the world on energy, whereas we used to be vulnerable to small countries in the Middle East going, we don't want to sell you oil this week. And then we had, we were waiting in line.
Exactly.
For oil. So instead of being weak and easy to bully, we became, we took Iran's oil off the international market and nobody noticed.
Exactly.
Because we were creating so much energy and by that jobs and income and wealth for the American people. So there's been so much success that the left is tired of it anyway. And they will never get off these divisive cards. And that's the men and women are not supposed to be on the same team according to them. You're supposed to have that kind of fight going on. Why? Because they don't want to talk about growth. They don't want to talk about jobs. They don't want to talk about failed school, public school systems. They don't want to talk about what they said they'd do with the last billion you gave them.
Exactly. Well, here we have a president in 3 years. The previous president and regime of 8 years would have loved to have had just a percentage of what this president has been able to accomplish. And all they can do is come up with this resistance. And now after the Mueller testimony of 6 hours on the Hill, you go, well, there's not any bullets in the gun, but they keep waving their gun around.
Again, what do you want them to talk about? The unemployment numbers at historic lows, the growth in job numbers growing every month, the new businesses starting up, the stock market hitting historic highs, the country's at peace. We're not starting any new wars of choice, although people keep suggesting the president that he should. This president has not done an incredibly long list of stupid things that people have suggested he do. So one of the successes is he knows how to say no to bad ideas.
Right, exactly. And One thing that's really been tough, and we've got ourselves back in the corner, and we can probably thank Bob Mueller for this, because of the takeover of the House by Democrats, it forced us into a screwball-y debt limit and the the canceling of anything sequestered to hold Congress into any kind of financial accountability by raising this debt limit. $320 billion now?
Yeah. This is the cost of losing control of the House of Representatives. When we had control of the House and the Senate and Obama was president, we won the sequester. We took $1 trillion out of Obama's spending plans for a decade, $1 trillion, mm-hmm. and then a second $1 trillion because we had the clout to say no. The challenge is the D's now have the House. They can say no. I am appalled at the level of spending. I am pleasantly surprised at how little damage they did compared to the leverage they had and what they could have done. What the R's were paying attention to was stopping them from using riders with, attached to bills to stop our deregulation, which they could have reached right into the administration and tried to micromanage all of the deregulatory stuff. I don't know. Just today, they put out the final bill saying small businesses can reach across state lines or across industry lines to get together and do 401ks.
Wow.
So if you have a bunch of companies with less than 100 people, you know, if you have 100 people, it's hard to do a 401k pension plan or an IRA pension plan because the overhead is so high for a small. But if you get 100 guys together, now you've got the lowest prices you can possibly get. The National Restaurant Association and the Asian American Hotel Owners Association, the guys who own half the hotel rooms in the country and all the restaurants, got together to do the same thing because the administration, again through deregulation, made the same deal for healthcare. So now small companies can buy healthcare in groups unless you have a Democratic governor. Democratic governors have been killing this in their states. They can't kill it in Texas, they can't kill it in Florida, but they can kill it in Colorado because Democratic governors can stop this from happening and are damaging small businesses' ability to get health care or small businesses' ability now, just starting today, to get 401ks. But if you live in a Republican House, Senate, and governor state, or if your Democratic governor hears enough from small business fund that says, don't do this, don't mess with us, let us get better health care and better retirement plans, as the Trump administration has allowed. So that deregulation and keeping that protected was a big win. But look,
we're going to get into that right after the break. More from Grover Norquist right after this.
Are you occasionally stressed, feeling fatigued? It doesn't have to be this way. Support your body's response to all kinds of stress. Promote energy levels and nurture a sense of well-being with Quantum Nutrition Lab's Stress Support, B12, and Adrenal Support. For a limited time, all three are on special. Buy two bottles and get the third one free. Call 888-588-7578. That's 888-588-7578. Or visit us online at qnlabs.com. That's qnlabs.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, PhD, host of Healthline. Tune in to get your questions answered and hear the latest breakthrough information for you and your family. Our product line, Quantum Nutrition Labs, delivers what others only promise, nutrition that really works.
You know, most people don't know they're missing the most important nutritional components in their diet. You know, if we really want to feel good and not miss work and get the most of each day, then we need the immune and growth factors in bovine colostrum. As a newborn, colostrum passes on immunity from our mother's lineage. It helps our body recognize when we're under attack and fights all those nasty microbes we're exposed to from birth. But the most important job colostrum does for newborns is to seal our GI tract. Unfortunately, it doesn't stay sealed. Leaky gut affects 8 out of 10 people, passing undigested foods, germs, and toxins into our bloodstream. It happened to me and caused unbelievable trauma to my immune system and gut. Fortunately, Sovereign Laboratories Colostrum LD can help. Taken daily as part of a healthy lifestyle, Colostrum LD can help you feel good every day. I feel great on this product. To learn more, go to PreventLeakyGut.com. That's PreventLeakyGut.com.
standing up for what's right, helping out when things go wrong, raising our voices alone or together, seeking the truth and speaking our minds, not just making records, but breaking them, fighting for victory on the battlefield and on the playing field, seeing the world through new eyes and the earth from miles above, redefining beauty, brains, and what it really means to be queen, making ourselves heard on stage and on screen, showing the way in Silicon Valley, and showing up for others wherever help is needed most. Not just making our mark, but making a difference. Now that's a job for a Girl Scout. Girl Scouts, preparing girls for a lifetime of leadership.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Hello, mercy, I have been searching for you lately.
Bill Martinez.
Give me a hug. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. Grover Norquist continues with us, president of Americans for Tax Reform. Grover, as we were starting to talk about what is going on in terms of turning over taxing authorities to your local airport.
Well, they're looking. This is something that some in Congress are looking to do. And Chairman Larson of Washington State in the House and Pete DeFazio of Oregon in the Senate are trying to get together to just about double the passenger facility charge. Okay? This is not like an electron or a neutron charge. This is a tax. But facility charge is a nicer way of saying tax. It's $4.50 right now for every flight segment. So if you fly from San Francisco to Chicago and then to New York, that's two segments. So right now it's $4.50 per segment per person. If you bring your family with you, you got to multiply by the number of wives and kids you have.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then we take that up to $8.50, and they promise to spend it wisely. The challenge is that what you think they're spending it on, like lengthening the runway or getting more planes up faster and through or even safety stuff, only about 10% of the money that comes from that's spent this way goes to those sorts of things. They've used it to pay down debt. They've built parking garages, which ought to pay for themselves, all those Taj Mahals they have at the airport, which are very nice, and they should have nice restaurants and stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not for taxpayers to pay for.
Right.
So they're really, without reforming the way they structure those airports, they're looking to once again raise taxes, and they want to stick it hidden inside your when you buy your ticket. You know, the ticket
Congress isn't courageous enough to pass this under normal channels. They now turn it over to the airports to, these are unelected bureaucrats raising our taxes. How can this happen?
Well, they just give them the authority to do that. And most airports are kind of small governments, right? I mean, they're run by a city or they're not a private, it's not like a company. And now in Europe, there are privately run airports in a lot of places, and sometimes you can have competition, two or three airports around London. So that keeps some of this down to a dull roar. But most of the airports in the United States are actually run by government, but in fact, all but one. And taxes already make up about 20% of the cost of the average flight inside the U.S., 20% of the cost, and they want to increase that. You know, we don't pay that much in sales taxes on stuff. There is already from general revenue, they spend a lot of money fixing up airports. There's a line item in the federal budget for this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. They want to add to that. So they want somebody else. I'm a congressman. I raise your taxes. I spend it on airports and other interesting things. All those lovely taxes they put on at the airport when you want to rent a car that goes to fund somebody's stadium.
Exactly.
You know, gajillionaires don't have enough money to build their own stadiums, and they want to tax people who fly through cities. I mean, one of the challenges in our airports is you're a captive audience. You're flying through Chicago. What else are you going to do? And you don't vote in Chicago. So the Chicago local government airport facility group votes high taxes and fees on everybody who flies through and rents a car or gets something to eat or passenger facility charge. None of that, all this lovely cash, and you don't get to vote against the people who did it to you.
This is like a modern-day troll, huh?
The troll living under the bridge and grabbing. You got to pay me something if you're going to cross.
Exactly. Unbelievable what this is going to do. And as you say, if you've got a family of four, you know, add it up. And, 20% is going to be a faint history.
Well, and by the way, the Airport Trust Fund that people talk about, at the end of this next year, there's going to be $10 billion sitting there, okay, up $3.8 trillion from 2018. Mm-hmm. And now they need more money. They need more money. They have $10 billion sitting there. It's going to be up by almost $4 billion from just this last year. And they want more taxing authority. At some point, you got to say to these guys, why don't you reform how you're doing what you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
Spend less now and figure out a way to not use airports as a tax subsidy for every bad idea. Look, if a politician has to hide the tax, he or she is really telling you, if you knew what I was doing, you would be pissed.
Exactly.
Therefore, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call it a passenger facility charge and let the airport raise it instead of me voting in Congress for it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, time and again, they keep kicking things. They're either kicking it down the road. They don't want to deal with it. So even like this whole debt limit, the way this passed, in order to avoid an argument next year, let's just go ahead. Let's pass it through. The only good news is that the $320 billion is an allocation. They still have to get, they still have to get each individual, element approved. Do they not?
They do, and there is a Republican Senate as well as a Democrat House.
Mm-hmm.
So the Republicans are not without influence and ability to tamp down some of what could be expensive nonsense. And you have to decide not only how much you spend, but how well you spend it. So things that just look like a waste of money can actually be destructive, depending on how they structure it. But nothing good is going to come out of Congress in the next year and a half. What we can do, and some of the Americans for Tax Reform is working on, is looking to end the taxation of inflation inside capital gains. You can do that by, in effect, an executive order defining the cost of a house that you buy or a farm or land or a stock as cost plus inflation, so that the gain in the value of your home from when you buy it to when you sell it, take the inflation out and only pay taxes, capital gains taxes, on the real increase in the value of your home. That drops the cost of capital gains taxes about in half for stocks. And if you've lived in your home for some time, it's more than that. So for older people over 55 who lived through the inflation of the 70s, this is a big deal.
Exactly.
It really drops the cost of everything that you bought. Very helpful to farmers, very helpful to housing and buildings, because they can get pretty old and a lot of inflation can get built up there and become much more expensive just because of the taxes. This is something the White House is looking at. The president says he wants to do it. Watch in the next 2 months. I think it's that and coming to an agreement with China that they stop stealing so much of our stuff in the tariff war we have there. Those are two things that could each send the stock market up $4,000 or $5,000.
Well, we've been saying, Grover, if we had a little bit of cooperation, what would happen? I mean, the USMCA should already have been approved. Mexico has already approved their. Canada's just waiting on us. I mean, you get that done, we firm up the trade agreement with Japan. We start looking at our European partners. At that point, that really adds to the pressure on China. Right now, China says, "Hey, look, why don't we wait a little bit? The Democrats seem to be raising a fuss here. We'll kind of just, you know, play the game and see if, in fact, the United States comes under new management in 2020.
Yes, China seems to be betting that the Democrats would be weaker than Trump, and I think that shows the Chinese are a wise people, or a wise government, at least in that department.
Right.
They sort of got our number.
Well, yeah, I mean, you'll know them by what they've done, right? They are consistent that way. What are the chances of this capital gains, drop, and that being adjusted? I know that Trump is for it, but what do you think the chances are getting through Congress?
Better than 50-50. Everyone I've talked to in the White House is for it. Treasury just needs to always, be made feel comfortable that this will raise revenue, and there's some wonderful charts. Every single time we've cut the capital gains tax in the history of the United States, revenue gushes way beyond anybody's prediction. Not just goes up
right.
Beyond the predictions. And when you raise the capital gains tax, it raises revenue for the 3 months before the tax increase goes into effect because everybody's selling early.
Exactly.
But after that, it plummets because people don't sell stocks, bonds, land, houses, farms as often if it's terribly expensive. And then you get this sticky capital where investment should move quickly from to highest and best use to be most productive and get money and capital to where the jobs need to be. But if it can't move because if you sell something that you don't want anymore, you've got to pay this very high penalty, capital gains penalty on the inflation, the whole economy slows down, and that's what we're living with now. We don't have to. That can get fixed. I think it is more likely than not better than 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
The Supreme Court in 2002 said that the FCC had the ability to make this decision, that cost has many definitions. It's not a fixed term. It could be what you paid for it, what you paid for it plus inflation. It could be the replacement cost.
Exactly.
What's it cost to get another car, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what I paid for the last one. If I lose this one, I got to buy a new one. That's
right.
The cost of the car
exactly.
To me. Mm-hmm. So this, I think it looks very good. Does not require Congress to vote, although the Republican leadership in the House and Senate are strongly for it. Ted Cruz just released yesterday a list, 21 Republican senators signed a letter. The House Republicans are doing a similar letter in the House of Representatives. Adrian Smith of Nebraska is leading that effort. I think it's demonstrated. Chamber of Commerce has endorsed this. The National Federation of Independent Businesses, the Asian American Hotelier Association, all of these various broad-based small business groups.
Grover Narkus, we got to leave it there. As always, appreciate the update on everything. President of Americans for Tax Reform, America's preeminent center-right expert on taxes. He's here to break it all down for us, and we really appreciate your time. Thank you, Grover. Take care.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped 1 million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.